Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of September 6th, week one of our look at what church is. I'm Dan Nygaard. Many Bible scholars, theologians, and even sociologists claim that if a first century Christian walked into a 21st century American church, they would not recognize what we commonly do as church. This month, the month of September, we're going to explore what church is. Our exploration will focus upon what the New Testament reports and records about church, what they did, how they did it, and try to identify why they did the things they did. Admittedly, this is going to be an exploration. There is in the New Testament, in fact, pretty scant reports on the activity of the church. Nowhere does the New Testament provide us with a systematic management, administrative, flowchart type of explanation of what the church ought to be doing and why it should do those things. However, the New Testament records for us some things that New Testament churches did. The goal of this exploration is to look at the New Testament record and hold up that record as the goal, the ideal, for the church in every age, in every location. Allow me a quick introduction about terminology. During this exploration of what church is, I'm going to use the term church as an identification of the religious Christian gatherings of today. Now, these are gatherings that have adapted over the centuries. They are neither wrong nor evil, but they are products of 20 centuries of church tradition. Also, during this series, I shall use the term ecclesia to identify biblical church gatherings. Ecclesia will identify activity recorded in and referenced in the New Testament. Jesus said in Matthew 16, "I will build my church." The term there is ecclesia. Jesus was looking forward to something that did not yet exist. The New Testament book of Acts records the church Jesus promised to build, records the beginning, the establishment of the ecclesia. So, let's begin at the beginning. If you have your Bible or your smartphone, turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. The first few verses of the book of Acts records Jesus' ascension into heaven. Verse 7 records Jesus' final words to his apostles and disciples. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they had been staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, our only goal is the exaltation of Jesus. The first thing the New Testament church did was gather to pray. In fact, even before the church became the church, they prayed. The second chapter of Acts records how the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and that day is reckoned as the beginning of the ecclesia, the beginning, the launching of the church Jesus promised to establish. But even before that happened, the followers of Jesus Christ gathered to pray. The ecclesia prayed. The ecclesia gathered to pray. The followers of Jesus Christ prayed even before the church began. Acts 1:14 records they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with Jesus' brothers. They gathered to pray. The ecclesia gathered to pray. Now, the first miracle occurred as Peter and John were going to pray. Acts chapter 3 tells the story of Peter and John going to the temple for the hour of prayer. At the temple gate lay a man who could not walk, and he was positioned there by his friends in order to beg for charity. This lame beggar saw Peter and John and asked them for some charity. The Bible tells us that Peter looked directly at him and said, "I don't have silver, I do not have gold, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." Then Peter took this lame man by the hand and lifted him to his feet. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. Miraculously, the lame man was empowered to jump to his feet. Acts chapter 3 tells us that he entered into the temple with Peter and John, leaping and singing and praising God. The first church miracle, the first ecclesia sign, occurred on the way to prayer. Prayer was a priority of the New Testament church. When followers of Jesus Christ enter into prayer, the power of God enters into those followers of Christ. They gain God's perspective. They gain God's compassion. People who pray are more able to see what God wants to do in their situation. The New Testament church gathered to pray. Indeed, even before the church launched, Christians gathered together to pray. And soon after the church launched, Peter and John were going to a prayer gathering. No, it wasn't a Christian prayer gathering. They were going into the temple to pray. But their heart, their desire, their purpose was to be with God, to talk with God, to listen to God. Now, it seems counterintuitive, but in fact, we ought not be surprised that as soon as God begins to do miracles, the systems of our world and the institutions that humans have built up over time resist. In the very next chapter in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested. Why were they arrested? Because they did this miracle. miracles apparently were not allowed. However, because they had done a good work, a miracle, the religious leaders could do nothing to oppose them. So Peter and John were released. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, that is, back to the ecclesia. They went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, this is the ecclesia, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And here's part of their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Note, in response to threats, in response to quite mild persecution, the church responded with prayer. But note also their prayer. The ecclesia did not pray for protection. Acts chapter 4 records for us that the early Christians prayed to be bold. Acts chapter 4 records their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats, that's the religious leaders' threats, and enable your servants, that's the followers of Jesus Christ, to speak your word with great boldness. Have you ever prayed to be bold? Interesting question. Perhaps for many of us, it is a humbling question. The book of Acts records for us that the ecclesia, that is the biblical church, the ecclesia gathered to pray. Even before the church launched, Christians gathered to pray. The first miracle occurred as Peter and John were on their way to prayer. In response to persecution, the ecclesia gathered to pray and they asked God for boldness. They asked God to stretch out his hand and perform miracles. During the month of August, I was in England visiting my son and just happened to meet a gentleman and his wife who had spent 17 years as missionaries to Malawi. Now, that's a country in South Central Africa. This missionary reported to me that God worked miracles in Malawi. He would pray for sick people, and those people were miraculously healed, amazingly healed. Now, this missionary said, I don't have the gift of healing. And more often than not, God did not heal. But on occasion, God did work a miracle and bring healing. And it happened several times. When faced with persecution, the ecclesia prayed for boldness. They asked God for signs and wonders, miracles to validate their message. The book of Acts records for us that the very first missionaries were sent out from the ecclesia, from the church in Antioch, were sent out as a result of a prayer gathering. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Now the church, the ecclesia at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and then it names some of them, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manene, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, that is the ruler of Israel, and Saul. Saul was the name of the person who would become the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 13 goes on to record, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them off as the first missionaries. The ecclesia gathered for prayer. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for God to work signs and wonders. And their prayers included listening. What does God want to do? The ecclesia in Antioch heard and acted upon God's direction to send out the very first missionaries. Sending out missionaries has been a big thing for the church ever since. The ecclesia, the church of the book of Acts, gathered to pray. The church in America seldom gathers to pray. Oh, we squeeze a little bit of prayer into our Sunday morning gatherings, our Sunday morning worship services. Many, many churches prioritize the pastoral prayer, which is very often a quite eloquent prayer, composed by and spoken by a very accomplished professional religious leader. But here's the hard question. When was the last time we gathered for an hour of prayer? By almost any metric, the church in the West, the church in North America, the church in America is weak, it's ineffective, it's in decline. Now, this same church is packed with godly people. Yet the reality we must confront is that the church today seldom gathers to pray. That is in stark contrast with the first century church. According to the Bible, according to the New Testament, and as evidenced in the book of Acts, prayer is the church's untapped resource. Prayer is the ecclesia's power source. Acts chapter 12 records how King Herod, now this was the son of Herod the Great of Jesus' time, in fact might have been a grandson, King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, Acts chapter 12, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death. Now James, this is one of Jesus' 12 apostles, and James is put to death with the sword. When Herod saw that this met with the approval among the religious leaders, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened. Peter was arrested during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting Peter, Herod put him in prison, handed him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial right after the Passover. So, Peter was kept in prison. But listen, the church of Acts, the ecclesia, was earnestly praying to God for Peter. The night before Herod was to bring Peter out for trial, Peter was asleep between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the prison cell. The angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," the angel said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. The angel led Peter to the prison cell door. The gate swung open. The two soldiers did not see them as they went out the cell. The angel led Peter through the prison and out the prison. The angel led Peter until they had gone through the outer gate of the prison, and there the angel disappeared. Now, imagine, if you will, the shock in the ecclesia, that first century church, upon the apostle James' execution. This is one of Jesus' apostles. How could God allow him to die? How could God allow the evil forces of this world to take James away from the ecclesia? I can readily imagine the church being in shock over all this. You know, James was arrested. Well, Peter and John had been arrested earlier and they had been released, and James is arrested, and, you know, they're going to, he's what? He's dead? James has been executed. Then Peter gets arrested. Peter's arrest prompted the ecclesia to gather and pray. Now, possibly the ecclesia gathered to pray when James was arrested. We don't have it anywhere in the text. It could have happened because that's what ecclesia does. But Scripture does not record prayers for James. It does tell us the ecclesia gathered to pray for Peter. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him, and an angel was sent from heaven to rescue Peter from prison. Might James have been rescued if the ecclesia had prayed? Might the church today pray more often if we saw more miracles? What keeps us from prayer? Oh, sure, the normal things, television, social media. The list of things that keep the church today from prayer is long, but it's a pretty pathetic list. None of it's very important, but that we allow such unimportant things to keep us from prayer is an indication, perhaps, that we think prayer is pretty unimportant. Or at least prayer, from our perspective, from the church's perspective in the 21st century, prayer is not very powerful. Jesus commanded his followers to pray and not give up. Luke chapter 18 records Jesus telling his disciples a parable that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was in that town a widow who kept coming to the judge with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, the judge simply refused. But finally, he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." The Lord said, Luke chapter 18, the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Jesus in this parable acknowledged that oftentimes it feels like prayer is petitioning an unjust judge. It oftentimes feels like God is not listening, he doesn't care, he's indifferent, he's doing more important things. Look, prayer would be more important to us if we saw more answers to prayer. I acknowledge that. If we saw more miracles, we'd be praying more often. Jesus himself acknowledged that prayer can seem like petitioning an unjust judge, but Jesus challenges us to pray and not give up. The ecclesia, the New Testament church, a biblical church, gathers to pray.